Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning and thanks for joining me on this edition of Africa Link. Live from Bonn, Germany, I'm Crispin Mwakideo. Our main stories this Monday, April the 11th. South Africa's ruling ANC continues to back and battle President Jacob Zuma. What could the repercussions be?
ANC party workers have to defend Jacob Zuma in an increasingly difficult political climate. And this protection of Jacob Zuma will create further tension within the ANC itself.
Chadians took to the polls on Sunday to vote for a new leader with incumbent President Idris Deby, likely to extend his 26-year rule.
People feel that no matter how things will go, Deby will win. And if in the end he will not win, honestly, then there is still a possibility for election fraud.
These stories plus the final episode of our crime fighter's story, Land of Chongwe. Don't miss out.
Top story.
We begin in South Africa, where unconfirmed media reports say the wealthy Gupta family have left the country. The Guptas have been accused of exerting undue influence on President Zuma. There have been unprecedented calls for Zuma to step down following the revelation of business ties between Zuma and the Guptas. To add salt to injury, a ruling by the Constitutional Court said he had violated the Constitution by using taxpayers' money to upgrade his private Nkandla residence. As Subri Govender reports, the president is currently engulfed in a titanic political storm.
While President Jacob Zuma, his fellow cabinet colleagues and officials were busy over the past weekend encouraging people to register for the local government elections in August, a campaign for his removal was being stepped up. The Nelson Mandela Foundation, a number of prominent leaders, and even some branches of the ruling ANC have entered the debate for Zuma's removal. The foundation requested an urgent meeting with the ruling ANC to discuss the controversy regarding Zuma continuing in office. This came after the Religious Leaders Council and the South African Council of Churches, SACC, met four leaders of the ANC to call for Zuma's removal. The religious leaders said Zuma had lost his moral authority to continue to be the president of the country. SACC President Bishop Siposishle Siwa said they now wanted to meet Zuma personally to inform him about the concerns of the people.
Ultimately, if you talk about him resigning, it is a decision that he has to take. And you have heard the ANC say if they were to ask him to do that, they would be courting splitting their own organization. So it's not really about the ANC even. It's about the president on his own volition that this is actually better for the country than otherwise.
Another leader to have joined the growing and vociferous calls for Zuma's removal is Dr. Albertina Luthuli, the eldest daughter of South Africa's first Nobel Peace Prize winner, Chief Albert Luthuli.
Those who really fought for our liberation, you know, and suffered and died. I do believe that my parents, that's the background I come from. Now, I'm sure where they are, all those people who brought us to 1994, mid-1994 possible, are in tears.
But while the Zuma must go call is growing on a daily basis, the ANC leadership and Zuma's backers are hitting back, saying they have been elected to improve the lives of the people. Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa made this clear while visiting election registration stations in the rural town of Mandeni in Zuma's home province of KwaZulu-Natal.
We know where we are going as a movement, and we are determined to achieve the objectives of our National Democratic Revolution. That's what we are focusing on.
The ruling ANC leadership, who appear to be fully behind Zuma, find themselves in an awkward situation. Many of them, including some cabinet ministers, want to see Zuma step down, like some of their branches. But they cannot speak out openly because they are concerned not only about their own positions, but also fear the damage that will be caused to the ruling ANC.
And that report was compiled by Subri Govender. Despite these mounting calls, the ruling African National Congress, ANC, has stuck with their leader. Last week, the ANC, which enjoys a majority in parliament, crashed an opposition bid to impeach President Jacob Zuma. Daniel Zilke, an independent political analyst, has been telling Eunice Wanjiru what influence the religious leaders have on the ANC.
Well, I think the religious leaders will certainly have been listened to by the ANC. I think there's a very sensitive and often difficult relationship in the past between the ANC and religious leaders. The ANC itself as a political party, of course, is comprised of many who are religious in the orthodox sense, but also many who do not hold a particular religious view, particularly those from the Communist Party side of the ANC's alliance partners. Still, I think that they will have certainly made an impact on the ANC leadership. But ultimately, I think the ANC themselves will be looking for guidance on the future of Jacob Zuma from their own party formations. And it is their own party formations, the branch network of the ANC, the role of influential insiders within the ANC, that probably will be more important in pressurizing the ANC if they are to do anything about Jacob Zuma, rather than the religious leaders who have met in the last few days.
By sticking with Zuma, is the ANC destroying itself from within?
Well, I think they're taking a very substantial risk, and the risk is particularly acute as we move into a four-month-long local government election campaign. Ultimately, the ANC are taking their weakest link, which is Jacob Zuma, and they are making him the focus of the local government election campaign. Not intentionally, but the unintentional consequence of protecting Jacob Zuma has meant that opposition parties in South Africa will use the local election as a virtual referendum on whether Jacob Zuma is fit to hold office. And if the election campaign is all about Jacob Zuma, it should be about local government issues. But if it is all about Jacob Zuma, this certainly puts added pressure and strain on the ANC. ANC party workers have to defend Jacob Zuma in an increasingly difficult political climate. And this protection of Jacob Zuma will create further tension within the ANC itself, and it will polarize those within the ANC who wish to see Zuma continue and those who may wish to see Zuma replaced earlier rather than later.
Daniel Silke, independent political analyst in Cape Town.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Chadians decide. 14 candidates, including President Idris Deby, are vying for the presidency as Chadians voted on Sunday. Deby is seeking his fifth term in office since coming to power in 1990 after leading a rebellion. He campaigned on the promise that only his government can ensure stability in the face of the Boko Haram threat. As Eunice Wanjiru found out from Martin Petri, a political analyst on Chad, Deby is once again widely expected to win.
Well, it's a bit difficult to tell, but what I've heard is that quite a number of people went to the voting offices, and there was calm, more or less, in the capital, but also in the southern towns of Saar and Mundu. Seemingly, the vote was not well organized as expected. I have heard from people who went to the voting offices with an election card, but then their names were not on the list, and then they were oriented to other voting offices, and again, they did not find their name on the list. But seemingly, people were very patient, but I cannot really say whether there was a high turnout of voting. I talked to some of the intellectuals I know, and they, from their side, they rather said they did not go to vote because it's a masquerade. It's already clear that Deby will be declared winner, no matter what people vote for, and so they felt it's quite useless to go to vote.
President Deby is facing 12 challengers in these hotly contested polls. Is he still expected to win this election?
You're right. I mean, there's a lot of challenges, and there's serious criticism inside civil society and also from the opposition side, and it's also for the first time since more or less 15 years that voters have a choice, because the elections in 2006 and 2011 were more or less boycotted by the main principal opponents of Deby. So this time a number of opponents are running for presidency. But on the other hand, if you look at the past weeks, the machinery of the MPS, the party in power, they were running up and down the country, distributing money and making promises to individuals like teachers or administrators to be promoted to interesting positions. if they manage to mobilize their constituency to vote for Deby, etc. Some people say they were openly more or less threatened in the county, say, if you don't vote for Deby, then you will have disadvantages, there will be no development in your county, etc., this kind of talk. And that has happened for the past weeks and even for the past years. So that is why people feel that no matter how things will go, Deby will win. And if in the end he will not win, honestly, then there is still possibility for election fraud.
Martin Petri, political analyst on Chad. Let's cross from Chad into Cameroon, where police chiefs from six Central African states have been meeting in the capital, Yaoundé. The top security officials were seeking to find solutions to human trafficking for terrorism purposes. Boko Haram, Nigeria's insurgent and terrorist group, is notorious for using young men and women as objects of terror. Moki Kinzeka joined the International Criminal Police Organization, Interpol, where he met former Boko Haram recruits and sent us this report.
Lawrence Urban Eno is head of the Interpol Office for Central African States. He says thousands of children, men and women, are forcibly abducted from Cameroon, Chad, Central African Republic, Gabon, Equatorial Guinea, and the Republic of Congo to be used as combatants, cooks, guards, sex slaves, servants, messengers and spies.
Women and children are either sold to rebels in the Central African Republic or to Boko Haram terrorists in northern Cameroon and are forced to join them. Many serve as sex slaves or fighters, and at one moment it is even suspected that the close to 300 girls kidnapped from a school in Chibok, northern Nigeria, were used as suicide bombers and sex slaves. Internally displaced persons are also vulnerable to human trafficking by the armed groups.
So we set out for northern Cameroon to meet some of the former Boko Haram captives.
Where is his senior brother?
He said, here, United Nations staff and Cameroon's military interrogate and search refugees just arriving at the Minawawo camp. Among the refugees identified as having special needs and directed for psychological care is 21-year-old Hamidu Muhammad. He says he was seized from the Nigerian town of Kumshi.
Boko Haram fighters forced my three brothers and I to join them. Those who tried to escape were killed. The fighters attacked hospitals and schools, chasing farmers, cattle, ranchers, and businessmen. And I was tasked to make sure all stolen food and basic goods were transported to their camps in the bush.
Muhammad escaped and handed himself to the military and is helping them in their investigations. The military says those caught with weapons are arrested and charged in a military tribunal, but those who hand themselves like Muhammad are held in special camps for investigations. The military denied me access to the camp. 18-year-old Yazan Imbra says she was kidnapped from the Nigerian border town of Gambaru and taken to a Boko Haram hideout where she was exploited for 2 years and was only saved when the multinational joint task force fighting Boko Haram organized raids on their camp.
Boko Haram fighters seized all our property and forced us and our children to camps, where boys served as domestic workers while learning how to operate guns and explosives. Women and girls were exploited sexually by fighters. We also worked as cooks for the fighters.
Imran held a 16-month-old baby whose father she said she did not know. Alain Vogo, Cameroon's senior military official in the area, says traumatized refugees are given special attention and counseling.
Moki Kinzeka reporting. Now, who killed Chief Awombo? The answer to that question coming up in this last episode of Crime Fighters, our investigative radio drama series. Enjoy.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello, thanks for tuning into Crime Fighters Land of Chongwe. This is the final episode entitled Rest in Peace. Last time, Private Detective Nwere and Inspector Wamto had a strong suspicion that Zimari might be behind the murder of Chief Awombo. Meanwhile, Zimari himself was trying to convince other Chongwens that the flower company Roses International was responsible for Chief Awombo's death. Where will the story take us next? Let's pick it up with Nwere and Inspector Wamto. He's dragged her out of an internet cafe in handcuffs. Why? Nwere has sent an email to all the local media outlets contradicting the official statement that Chief Awombo was killed by a wild animal. So now, shortly before the chief's funeral, the information that he was in fact murdered is out in the open. The question is, who done it?
Drive! Drive, people, drive!
Calm down, Mwamto. It's not the end of the world. By the way, that was very mean of you, Inspector.
You really thought I was going to arrest you? Come on, Mary, I'm not such a bad cop, am I?
Well, you still haven't told me where we are going. Or is this another of your bad jokes?
We are going to Chongwe.
At this time of night? Wouldn't it be better to wait and go tomorrow morning just before Awombo's funeral?
My instinct tells me I have to go there now. You know where Zimari lives, right?
Yes, I know. Are you taking him in for questioning?
I'm not sure what I'm going to do with him. But by tomorrow morning, the whole country will know that the chief was murdered. If Zimari is responsible, I want him behind bars.
So you do approve of what I did, letting the public know that Chief Awombo was murdered?
That was what I wanted to do in the first place, but my bosses didn't say it that way. I'm actually relieved it's all out in the open now.
Jembe, hello?
Mwere, you have to do something. I've tried calling the police, but the line was bad.
Okay, Jembe, take a deep breath and tell me what's going on.
It's Zimari.
Zimari.
Zimari?
Mwamto, keep your eyes on the road. Do you want to kill us both? Sorry, Jembe. Go ahead. What about Zimari?
He's planning to attack Mr. Gamble at the directors of Roses International at Chief Awombo's funeral.
No way. Jembe, are you sure about this? Who's your source?
I am the source. Listen, all the young people in Chongwe, including me, have been given machetes. If you don't stop Zimari, there's going to be bloodshed tomorrow. I have to go. Bye.
No, wait. Don't hang up. Damn.
What's going on, Mary?
You are right. Zimari is planning to attack the directors of Roses International during Awombo's funeral.
What?
Hurry! We don't have much time.
You sure this is Zumari's house, Mwere?
Go ahead and knock.
Maybe he's asleep already.
No, Mwamto. Try again.
Who is it?
Zimari, this is Inspector Mwamto. Open the door. You're wanted in connection with the death of Chief Awombo. Drop the machete. Drop it or I'll shoot.
Is this how you repay us, Mwere? By siding with the oppressors, the land grabbers, and the tyrants?
Zimari, you didn't have to kill the chief, no matter what he had done. You shouldn't have taken the law into your hands.
Awombo deserved to die for grabbing our land and turning my family into beggars. He deserved to die for letting what little land we still had be taken away by Roses International. He deserved to die. Damn right, he deserved to die. And I'll do it all over again if I had to.
I have only one question, Zimari. What did you use to strangle the chief to death?
The chief was foolish to trust me. I told him he should walk on ahead while I tied my shoelace. He never suspected a thing. I took out my shoelace and put on my work gloves. It was all over in a moment. Then I dragged his body to the river and threw it in. The rest is history.
My dear citizens, as your interior minister, I join you today to remember a man who sacrificed everything for this nation. Much has been said about our dear departed Chief Awombo, and much more could be said to praise his brave and heroic deeds. It is now my pleasure to invite to the podium another unsung hero who made it possible for Chief Awombo's murderer to be arrested. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Pambo.
Yay! Pambo!
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But Your Excellency, ministers, dignitaries, I am not the hero of this story. In fact, I owe everything to Mweri. She never gave up seeking the truth in spite of all the obstacles. All I can say is, rest in peace, mighty Chief Awombo. We'll miss you and your wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you, Pambo. Ladies and gentlemen, I now invite President Imani to address you all.
Thank you. People of Chongwe, dear citizens, it was only this morning that I learned from the press that the chief wasn't killed by wild animals, but was in fact murdered. As you are all aware, Intelligence Chief Zamba Wazamba has handed in his resignation, which I have accepted.
Let him go.
I've also been briefed that the possible motive for Chief Awombo's murder is connected with the history of this rose farm where we are now gathered. As you all know, I came to power after the land of Chongwe was leased to Roses International. I am now ordering that this lease be revoked and all such land deals in the country are to be reviewed.
Yes.
This is our country. This is our land that our forefathers fought hard for.
Yes.
We cannot and will not allow blood to flow because of land that is already ours.
Yes.
Your Excellency, we need to get you out of here. Let the security agents handle this.
No, Kuzacha. I want you to go down there and find out what the problem is. That's your job.
Of course. Of course, Your Excellency.
It's all right. Everything is fine. President Imani, Minister Kuzacha, the young people are surrendering their machetes. They had planned an attack, but they have changed their minds. And now they come in peace.
Thank God.
To all those who have surrendered their weapons, I, President Imani, grant you amnesty.
Yes!
I promise that you will not be arrested or prosecuted. Yes! Now, this is how our beloved chief would have liked us to bid him farewell.
As the people of Chongwe dance and sing praising Chief Awombo, we bring down the curtains on this series. Land of Chongwe was written by Crispin Mwakideo. As always, you can listen again to this episode or to the entire series by visiting our website, dw.com/crimefighters, or on Facebook. Until we meet again for another story, goodbye and stay safe.
Tune in on Monday as we begin a brand new crime fighter story titled Drugs to Cure, Drugs to Kill. And before we go, a reminder of our main stories. South African President Jacob Zuma is facing mounting pressure to resign as the ANC continues to support him. Chadian strongman Idris Deby is expected to win another 5 years in office after Sunday's election. And that's all for today. Your thoughts and comments on the program are most welcome. Send us a text message to country code 49160957 59510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or a letter to Africa Link, DW53110 Bonn, Germany. From me, Crispin Mwakideo, good day, take care.